sober show. The only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101, after the last show, we really don't speak for anybody at all for any reason.
Including ourselves.
We don't even speak for that. Matter of fact, well, that's pretty much it. The opinions we have are only our own and not even that good.
They have to be cleared by Shelley.
Shelley? Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley.
And Mark.
Okay. So, we had a rip-roaring show last time. If you missed it, you might want to go back and listen again. But it's got nothing on the show coming up.
The magic is about to occur.
I think that all our listeners should go back and listen to that show. Because they have a stake in the future of the show, too.
So they should all advertise.
Listen to the show and then go to recovery101.net and comment on the show and tender their opinion.
You know what I think?
What?
I think one of those guys, he's going to own like some car repair shop or something. He's going to want to advertise. And Shelly's going to go, never had my car done by you. I don't know that you're good.
Here, fix
good
my car
mechanic.
For free. Let me see if that works.
No, I would just go to the Better Business Bureau or one of those websites, find out if he's got any complaints. If he doesn't, fine, advertise.
What if he does?
Well, let's look up the holistic medicine place.
So you
okay.
So
see
you
if they have any complaints.
We know if our friend Marty came to us and wanted us to advertise his...
The Brick House?
Yeah, would you do it?
Yeah.
Really? Because
yes.
We know people who have complaints about it.
Those are usually the ones that try to sneak in fake pee.
Well, there is that.
Well, you have a guy that you go to meetings with all the time who has a complaint about them ripping him off.
Yeah, he was also one of those ones that was peeing dirty.
But you shouldn't let him come to a meeting with you then because there's that moral standard.
What?
You have that moral standard about people. And you can't have it both ways.
Ding, ding, round two.
Why should they not be able to go to meetings?
Because it's obviously not helping them, so what's the point?
What? That has nothing to do with advertising.
Well, because
on the show.
No, because we would have a place if we advertise for them, obviously we endorse them, so we believe in them. So if somebody's there who doesn't believe in them, they shouldn't be allowed to be around us.
We can advertise him because we may believe in it. That doesn't mean everybody else believes in it, because obviously the people that aren't being helped but don't believe it.
But what if other
That's
people...
That's not my responsibility.
But if other people believe in it, but we don't, then we don't, we can't, then they can't advertise with us?
I didn't say that. I don't know.
Sure, because you said
I have to go and
you
look
said,
it up
You
first.
Said if there were any complaints with the Better Business Bureau, then you wouldn't let them advertise. There might be a few complaints.
There might be a few complaints. I would have to, like, check it out a little bit more.
Okay.
And besides, that's a commercial enterprise. That's not a moral philosophy or theory or program of any kind like that that is subject to a moral judgment. It's a product.
What if the holistic medicine's a product?
Well, I'd have to check it out first.
She's never been to the Brick House.
I've never been
she's
to the
never
Brick
been
House.
There.
She's never. She knows about it from the owner.
Yeah,
you're talking
kind of like those guys sending me.
You realize you're sitting here talking to a guy with no microphone.
Yeah, it's kind of like she knows the owner, and the owner told her that it's a good place. She's never been there. She's never checked it out. Now the holistic medicine people said they're a good place too, but apparently that's not good enough.
I don't know them.
Sweet.
I happen to know Marty. He's a good guy. He runs a good program. His personal program is good.
I bet there are people who think these guys are good guys.
I'm sure there are.
Their mothers probably
and
think
I
they're
will
great.
Probably find
There's
out.
Probably people that
oh
think
my God.
I'm a
Can
good
we have
guy.
A different topic on this show, maybe?
I don't
oh,
know.
No,
we might just continue this
got
one.
We've got a topic coming up.
Well, we might just continue this one.
Holy crap.
Obviously,
fact,
we didn't finish.
Matter of fact.
What?
Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
Okay.
L.
O. S. I got to tell you.
Let's what?
You still miss Mark and Brian?
About KLOS. Mark and Brian are gone.
Here we go.
They're retired.
Gone. And you know what? I was talking with someone, a guy that actually owns another recovery home in Covina. I was down there talking to this guy I know named Carl, and he mentioned KLOS. And I said, yeah, whatever. I said, I don't even like Heidi and Frank. And he goes, I never heard them, Mark and Brian, ever say they were retiring until like one day before they retired. There was no lead up to that
at all.
A whole
week. There was a whole week before him.
Yeah, a whole week. We're going to retire after 30 years of broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Next week.
Well, I never listened to them, and I knew they were retiring.
Okay. According to French scientists, they have discovered a painkiller that is as powerful as morphine, but has none of the side effects and is not addictive.
Awesome.
It is a component of the venom of the Black Mamba.
Kobe Bryant's venom?
Oh, that's a good one. That's
now,
a good one.
The snakes, apparently they have chemical in their venom that operates much the same way that morphine does, but it doesn't have the addictive properties, and it doesn't cause any of the same, like it doesn't cause headaches or difficulty thinking, vomiting, muscle, nothing of that. It doesn't have any side effects.
I'll take two.
They are in the...
Is it addictive?
No, I just
said
that twice.
Only if you keep using it over a long period of time.
It's currently being tested. The problem is, you know, it may end up being a fairly expensive thing if they can't, you know, if it turns out to be one of those Mother Nature's Kitchens kind of thing where they can't replicate it, they can't make a man-made version, it may end up being a little bit too expensive, and they have to make sure that it actually consistently works in humans. That's why it's in trials right now.
So what do you think?
We can make diamonds and gold. We can't make black adder venom, Mamba venom.
What do we think, Shelly? What do you think?
About what?
Is it a good thing?
Well, Mamba
number, I don't know.
I'll Mamba
have to
number
wait
five.
And see what happens.
Okay, just checking.
In Boulder, Colorado.
Sure, gotten testy on this show all of a sudden, haven't we?
She's already testy.
You guys are just picking at me. Jeez.
I'm picking her because I asked what her opinion was on it.
I don't know. Brenda Gears, 73 years old, was on her way to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting when she crashed into the St. Aidan's Episcopal Church and hit an 18-year-old college student, after which she was arrested for a DUI.
See, those meetings aren't necessarily a good thing.
Well, fortunately, the 18-year-old lived through it. He's in serious condition in the hospital, and she has obviously been arrested. So.
Because her higher power was looking out for her.
Well, somebody was.
So looking out for him.
Maybe she was under the influence of Satan because she crashed into a church. You never know.
I know other people that have crashed into churches. Hello, peanut gallery.
Here's one for you. For you two. In Philadelphia.
Philadelphia?
Yes. At
City
the
of
Charles Carroll High School. Samantha Pelosi has her parents may end up suing the school. She wore a pro Romney T-shirt to school, and one of her teachers humiliated her in class.
I heard about that
for being in support of Mitt Romney and compared her to a member of the KKK.
Ooh.
Then attempted to kick her out of the class, and she stood up for herself and said, I have a right to my opinion. There are other kids that are wearing Obama shirts, and she's not getting on them. And she refused to leave the classroom, whereupon the teacher called the principal, created a huge stink. Now the family is saying they're going to sue because she's been humiliated in front of the whole class. She also told the other students that this girl was obviously stupid, among other things.
Wow.
They should sue the school for $150 million and donate it all to Romney's campaign.
You know what they should do? They should sue the school for a lot of money and then advertise with us.
That's right.
Now, it's not against the dress code to wear stuff like this. Other kids are wearing stuff. So
look,
it wasn't in violation of anything.
With the exception of our newscast and Fox News and maybe one or two others, the whole slant's always going to be for Obama, so what difference does it make?
Well,
teachers are idiots for the most part when it comes to political matters. They can't help themselves.
Send your hate mail to Mark.
To Mark.
at
any teacher in the world who wants to go ahead and debate me on politics, I'm here.
Well, you know what the problem is? The problem is whether it was pro-Obama or pro-Romney, they shouldn't be supporting either one of them in class. That's not what they're – unless – well, you know what? Even if it's a poli-sci class, they shouldn't be doing it. Because when I was at poli-sci at the college I went to, they would – you could go get an internship, and they weren't specific at all. They're like, you could go work for a Democrat. You could work for an independent. You could work for a Republican. They didn't care because they didn't tender an opinion, a political opinion, because it's a class for learning about political science, not to push one politic over another.
Yeah, well, it's part of the dumbing down of our society. Got anything else for us, Shelley? How are we doing so far?
A new Harvard study. Bill sent this in.
There's a new what study?
Harvard study.
Oh, Harvard.
There's a high. They found a high incidence of vision problems among men and women who drank more than 3 cups of coffee a day. So apparently, I'm about to go blind. As I sit here without my glasses looking at the fuzzy letters.
But they can't wear Romney shirts there either, can they?
They found that heavy consumption of caffeinated coffee, so I guess decaf may be okay, increased the likelihood of developing exfoliation glaucoma, an eye disorder that affects about 10% of adults over age 50.
So only 10% of adults over age 50 drink lots of coffee,
I guess. Apparently.
You haven't checked an AA meeting lately.
Oktoberfest news.
They're doing that at the LA County Fairgrounds. Oktoberfest.
They had the number of visitors actually this year was down by about 500,000 people. And yet,
Number of beers were up, though.
Number of beers were up, and they had 11% more people hospitalized for alcohol-related problems.
Wait.
You know what it is? Higher quality drinkers.
You know what? Wait.
What?
Was down, attendance was down by 500,000 people?
Yeah, normally they get about 6 million people. They got about 5.5 million people.
Where is this?
In Germany.
Germany.
Wow.
The Oktoberfest.
6 million people? That's a hell of an Oktoberfest.
A lot of them come back for a second call, though.
Yeah.
So some come more than once.
Let's see.
We get a lot of people in Germany who listen to this show. Guten Tag, by the way.
In Dana Point, California.
That ain't that far.
Fishermen, I don't know if this is a record, but fishermen managed to pull in a mako shark weighing over 900 pounds.
Ooh.
It took 4 hours to bring it
That's
in,
a lot
and
of
the
steaks.
Shark nearly pulled them out of the boat.
That's a lot of steaks.
Yeah, it is. I saw a picture of the shark. The thing is massive.
Wow. World record great white shark was caught off Anacapa Island. That's
yes,
where Shelley went fishing one time.
Yes.
25 feet,
so
multiple tons.
I was so happy that you told me that while we were out on the boat. In the UK, Gabby Scanlon, an 18-year-old.
Gabby Scanlon. My name is Gabby Scanlon.
She went to celebrate her 18th birthday. They went out to a pub. She had a cocktail that was made with liquid nitrogen.
Wait, is it drinking age 18?
Yeah. Actually, I think it's 17 there.
Really?
At Oscar's Wine Bar. Well, you can drink, I think it's 17 in most of Europe, you can drink like low-alcohol cider and wine. And then at 18, you can drink everything.
Wow.
I think that's what it is. I could be wrong. One of our listeners will have to write in and tell me. At any rate, she had a cocktail that was made with liquid nitrogen, which apparently is like a fad there. It chills the drink down and starts ice crystals forming in the alcohol, which you can't do normally because normally alcohol doesn't freeze. But liquid nitrogen is so cold that it will cause ice crystals to start in the alcohol, and it causes like this misty fuzz, like dry ice kind of foam on the top of the drink, so it looks cool. So it's kind of a fad thing to have drinks that are made with liquid nitrogen there. Unfortunately for her, what happened was her stomach couldn't handle the extreme cold, and it perforated her stomach, and she had to have her stomach removed.
Whoa.
On her birthday.
Had to have her stomach removed?
Yes. Liquid nitrogen.
And replaced with what?
Well, nothing. You can have a gastrectomy and still live a more or less normal life. You just have to eat the foods that you eat have to be in very small quantities, and you have to have lots of little meals.
Oh, that doesn't sound good at all.
No, it's not.
That'd be enough to keep me from having liquid nitrogen drinks.
Here's a business that Bruce should get into because he's a good driver.
Oh, I was going to say porn.
Back east in New Jersey, Wyckoff, New Jersey.
Joyzy.
There's a new company that's trying to get franchises to open. It's a company that this guy started, Craig Shear started. It's called Steer Clear. And he actually developed a smartphone app that you can download for free, where if you go to a bar or whatever and you don't want to drive yourself home because you've been drinking, you just hit the little buttons on the app or whatever, and it calls them to wherever you are. They send two drivers in one car, and they drive your car home, and then the other driver that's following you takes their employee back.
Boy, do I see issues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of tow truck companies that'll do that, but they don't send two people. They send a tow truck. They put your car up on the flatbed, take you to your home, drop the car off in the yard, and walk you to your door.
Well, these guys are getting money for it, and Jan's Towing does it for free.
Yes. Well, I'm sure there's towing things all over the country that do it for free. I mean, I know there's several in our area that do it. They don't all advertise it, but several of them do it.
Well, you know, if you need a designated driver, there's an app for that.
Sweet.
Dude.
I'm going to designate a drive for all the drunk hot chicks. Is that where you were going with that, Mark? That there could possibly be problems?
Yeah.
Hey, baby. I'll drive you home.
Kazoo Alert. Our last story. Kazoo Alert. Kazoo Alert. Kazoo Alert. Da-da-da-da-da. Kazoo Alert. Da-da-da-da-da.
We are ready.
Hero of the week.
I effed that up.
Wow, you went sideways.
There we go.
Layla Haidari in Kabul, Afghanistan, borrowed $26,000 from friends to launch a project. And in Afghanistan, this is a fairly daring thing for her to do. It's quite over the top. She started a restaurant. What she wants to do is to use the restaurant to fund a shelter that she has set up for addicts. There is almost no support or treatment options for people who are alcoholics or addicts in Afghanistan. I mean, literally none.
Well, that's because you're not supposed to drink in Afghanistan. It's against the religion.
She nursed her brother his whole life because he was an opium addict, and was very discouraged by the fact that there was no support for them or their family or anything. So she started a shelter for people that are trying to get and stay sober. She needed the money to run the shelter. So in order to run the shelter, she started a restaurant, and the restaurant employs the people at the shelter that have a certain amount of time sober to help them learn a new skill and get back on their feet.
So NA won't go there to help them.
I don't know who goes there to help them, but there isn't much.
Trying to keep people sober.
There are very few meetings there, are very few
well,
and far
sure
between,
there's...
and there's no government help at
now,
all.
Now, I don't know about drugs specifically, but when I saw the movie Religulous with Bill Maher, he was talking about these guys that were Muslims that were running a bar. And he's like, isn't it completely against the Muslim religion to drink? And they're like, well, yes. He's like, how do you get away with doing that then? And they were talking about something to do with, I don't think it was specifically Afghanistan, but they were talking about Muslim countries with people that should be going to AA, but there's no AA because they're not supposed to be drinking in the first place.
If you went there, you'd be executed.
Yeah, you go to the local AA meeting, and they watch you, and they go, hey, you've gone against Muhammad.
Well, I think it's fairly heroic for her to even do this because, she's... The government, she's getting no help for it. She's being, there are some people that are saying that she's a disgrace. Her husband divorced her over it, even though she said she offered that he could take a second wife in order to compensate for the time that she wasn't in the home when she was working in the restaurant and helping addicts.
Done.
but he divorced her, and her family is distanced themselves. Her family, the people that demanded that she take care of her drug-addicted brother his whole life, is shunning her for trying to help other addicts. And she's not even an addict.
She, you know what? She should get a hero of the week just by saying he could go get another wife. That's awesome.
They do. I know. Peanut Gallery said they disgraced that beautiful story. Yeah, they do.
We did.
And that's the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House Aware Program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Sweet.
Dude.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Dude.
Okay, now that you're like in on it, it's not really as funny as it used to be.
Okay, we'll stop then.
Sweet.
Dude, what are you going to talk about?
Shelly?
What?
The topic.
I don't know.
Who should advertise on this?
We just did that. STFU.
Should we just continue that show?
No, we should not. Please, no. I've already got a headache.
Shelly? It continued through the break and into the beginning of this show. So, obviously, we weren't done with it.
I'm done with it.
Obviously, we have not addressed this topic ad nauseum.
I have a headache. What is the topic?
When did you feel the psychic change?
Oh, that's right.
The psychotic change.
Last show.
Yeah, it was a psychotic change. Holy crap.
I think the suggestion was, when did you feel the psychic change? How do you know what the psychic change is?
Yeah, what is the psychic change?
Other people when they have it?
I don't know. I had kind of, in a way, I had kind of two, because after my relapse and I had to get a real sponsor, there was kind of like a weight lifted off my shoulders in a sense, because I gave up and decided to take everything on faith and just do what she told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lost the back of my earring. That was like the first part of it, I think. But the second part, it was like a year and a half ago or whatever. And it was just, they describe it, some spiritual literature describes it as a dying to self. I was not all that in a bag of chips anymore. I didn't fascinate myself anymore. I was more fascinated by other people, and I was more interested in what God wanted me to do than what I wanted to do. And it's very freeing. And for me, the psychic change was less really a change. So more, it was more of a overall peace. I didn't have all the crap running in my head all the time. It was just quiet. And, well, except for when I get a song stuck in my head. And then all bets are off. But I just became, most of the time, fairly peaceful, and a lot of the time fairly joyful. You know, it just, my whole outlook, you know, it says in the book, your whole outlook and attitude on life will change, and it did. It just, you know, we have an incredible amount of crap going on right now. A lot of negative stuff. And I'm really not that upset about it. I mean, yeah, I'm not real thrilled, but, you know, it's like, all the crap that's happening at work. Things are exploding at work, and it's getting really bad. And the librarian today was just so upset about it. She was on the verge of tears. And I just looked at her and I said, it's going to be okay. She said, well, we can't do anything. I said, I know, but it'll work out. Don't worry.
I know, but we're still getting paid to not do anything.
Exactly. I'm getting paid to process books ad nauseum. One of my favorite things to do. So how can it be all bad? I mean, and you know, I felt really bad because she was really upset about it.
Well, interestingly enough, your particular job basically unaffected.
That's not true. About 50% of my job I couldn't do.
Oh.
Because I need the computer system. But it was true what I told her. I said, it's going to be okay. Because
and?
Either way, it's going to be okay.
And
I didn't used to think that way.
Will the library open tomorrow?
Yes.
Then it's fine, right?
It's not, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And, you know.
We know it.
And the footwork is being done, mostly by me, to fix the problem. And that's sort of what happened to me is that it just changed. As long as I'm doing the footwork, I'm staying out of the results. And I didn't used to do that. So that's kind of what my psychic change was. So now I'm done talking. Now I'm tired. Good night.
Well, we're going to come back to you.
Good
for the
night.
Are we going to come back to her for the jellyfish story later?
Oh, no, not the jellyfish story again.
So, Mark, what is a psychic change?
I don't know. But it's sort of like pornography. You'll know it when you see it. I just...
Oh, and who's the lead-out music prior? Holy crap.
You know, I mean, I kind of agree with the direction Shelley took with, you know, there was the psychic change. There was the immediacy when I showed up in the program. There was obviously a psychic change because I was just tired. So I was teachable.
That's true.
And I think that psychic change just occurred when I realized that I was completely powerless and that it was stupid for me to think any longer. I went from doing the same thing and expecting different results to no longer doing the same thing knowing the results were going to be the same. You know, it's like at the end, it wasn't the insanity of doing the same thing and thinking something different was going to happen. I went and got loaded and did a lot of cocaine every single day knowing how it was going to turn out, and I did it anyway. And I think the psychic changed when I just decided, you know what, I can't do that anymore. There has to be something else. I don't know what it is. Turned out to be a higher power. Didn't know that when I came in. But then also, I agree that over time, as this program works for you, your whole attitude and outlook upon life just changes.
Yes.
And the longer I've been around here, I've said this before, the longer I've been around, the less I give a shit. It just doesn't matter to me anymore. I mean, all the garbage that goes on and everybody's, you know, the drama and I just don't care. I care about one thing. I wake up in the morning.
That's a good thing to care about.
That's all I care about. Because whatever goes on after that, not my concern.
It's in God's hands.
My job is to wake up in the morning, and that's pretty much in God's hands, too. But I enjoy that when that happens.
Yeah, I enjoy waking up as well.
It's the best part of my day.
Yeah, I went to look it up a little bit while Mark was talking, you know, and it mentions where it talks about it in the doctor's opinion,
mm-hmm.
where that we had to have a complete psychic change for it to work, and it likens it, of course, to spiritual awakening, and you know. I got what Appendix 2 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous calls the learned variety of spiritual awakening.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get the thunderbolt, knock me out of bed, throw me to the floor, understand the presence of God. I didn't get that. I completely changed all my actions of the way that I used to live for the new actions of being in recovery. And as a result, I began to act as if and pray every day whether or not I believed that would actually work.
Fake it till
Matter
you make
fact,
it.
Matter of fact, I didn't believe it would work. And I told people as much that I didn't believe it would work. And this old guy in the program said, I didn't ask you if you thought it would work. I just told you to do it.
Right.
So I did. Now, I prayed for God to remove the obsession to drink and use. My higher power, God. And it went away.
Coincidence?
And people ask me,
I don't
was it God
so.
That did it? And I say, I don't know. Because I don't. There's no way to prove it. But I happen to be praying to God when it went away. So why not?
Sure.
I just go along with it like that.
About 5% of the people think that way.
About 5% of the people think every way. <That's> So, Shelley, was that it? You were just done? You shot your wad? Is that
pretty much. I'm so tired.
We're not
going
to get the jellyfish story?
Oh, no. We don't have to do the jellyfish story. Everybody's already heard it.
Not everyone's always
not heard
everyone's
it.
And I wasn't even sober then. I wasn't even in the program then.
So you can't have a spiritual awakening unless you're sober?
Well, no, but I mean, we're talking specifically about the psychic change in the program, not...
I think that story represents a huge psychic change in your life. Oh, but that's okay. Don't tell it. Sorry, Bruce. What else do you have to contribute?
I think she should tell the jellyfish story. Since she just said, oh, all right.
It's...
Well, then Mark went on, so I was just going to let you guys roll.
You know, if you move the mic away...
I was just
going to
let you roll. It's sorry.
Say, yeah. If you throw the mic around in front of your face like it's not there.
It's not there.
It sounded like this. It's
just...
it sounded like... I... gone. And... gone.
Shelley was using the microphone to make a point.
Yes.
We were at Aquarium of the Pacific.
Yes. We and were.
I look over at Shelley, and Shelley is literally not
holding
really able
up.
To stand up. She's holding on to the wall in front of the jellyfish tanks.
Oh, well, that was a big, huge jellyfish exhibit. Is that jellies exhibit? And I was standing in front of the baby umbrella jelly tank looking at
yes.
it. They're so perfect and cute. And I was just, and at that time I was fairly agnostic, and we were going to get married, and you wanted there to be a minister there, and I was not really sure that
she wanted a barista.
Well, yeah, I wanted a barista.
Nice.
Well, we did, but we got both. But
nice.
I wasn't really sure that I wanted to make promises in front of a God that I wasn't really sure of, because you can get into trouble doing that. And
really.
But I went along with it because he was really, in, you know, pro getting a minister. And when we took the kids, this is before we got married, we took the kids to the aquarium, and I was looking at that exhibit, and it occurred to me as I'm looking at the jellyfish, it was like it just hit me like a physical force that there was a God. There had to be a God because the jellyfish have not changed for millions of years. They're exactly perfect. They do exactly what they're supposed to do. And it was like God had put his finger on them and said, okay, I'm done with you. You are perfect. These human things need some work. Because he's not done with us yet. Because we keep changing.
Mm-mm. Does that mean God is done with the cockroach?
Pretty much. And the shark. And the crocodile.
Yeah, they've pretty much been the same.
Yeah, anything that hasn't changed.
Trilobite?
I don't think we have any trilobites anymore,
do we?
Oh,
yes, we do.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
There you go.
They thought they were extinct for like 30 million years, and they found some people like in the South Pacific, like catching them and eating them every day.
Oh. Oops.
Yeah. With some fava beans.
So I don't know. So that's how I came back to God. The jellyfish brought me back. My mother asked me when I told her the story. She said, the jellyfish didn't talk to you, did they, sweetie? I said, no, Mom, they didn't talk to me.
Nice.
Not yet.
The
Not
fact
yet,
that your yeah. mom would ask that. Is perfect.
Yeah, because she went back to her room and went, I'm the only one who heard them.
Well, mom's from like the acid casualty days. Did they talk to you, sweetie? No, Mom.
Did they tell you about the time when I was...
Yeah.
So, Mark.
Yeah.
How did you have your spiritual awakening? Anything in specific?
I remember my God shot.
There you go.
Your
God kamikaze?
Yeah. About 45 days in. Helped a friend move some furniture. Delivered a coffee table.
Just so people know, as you tell this story,
uh-huh.
I would be a dead MF-er if that had happened to me.
Go ahead. Deliver the coffee table. This girl says, we should go out on the patio. Goes out onto her back patio, hot tubs in full bubble. She unties the dress. Dress falls to the floor. She jumps in the hot tub and pulls a mirror of cocaine out from behind the rock. So now I have a naked blonde in a hot tub with a mirror full of cocaine.
Which is absolutely the worst place to have powdered coke, man. I'll tell
you. But she was, she, wasn't the first time she'd ever done this, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I know.
And I went into the bathroom and I did what people in the program had shared and had talked about.
Told you to do.
I got down on my knees and I said, God, get me out of here, because if I go back out there, I'm done. All done. While I was on my knees praying, I don't know if God stepped up to help me. My friend who I went there with.
But
knocked,
you happened to be praying?
I happened to be on my knees praying my ass off when my friend knocked on the door of the bathroom and said, Mark, I'm really sorry. Let's get out of here.
Nice.
So, you know, that coincidence?
I don't think not.
So
Shelley, what would your final words on psychic change be?
We're about to have a psychic change in a few minutes.
She's okay, good.
I'm awake now, and in a few minutes, I won't be. That's a total and complete psychic change. I don't know. I think that most people probably have the learned variety. I was incredibly lucky to have gotten what I got, for which I am grateful. And I think that people keep waiting for the lightning bolt to hit them.
Thunderbolts and lightning.
And I say, don't wait. Seek out God as hard as you sought out the drugs and alcohol. And the psychic change will come.
Nice. Mark, final words.
Act as if, and you will get there.
Sweet. My final words are similar to Shelley's, but I got to be honest and say, if I went after seeking a spiritual awakening with one-tenth of the energy I put into getting loaded, I should have it licked.
You'd be Father Bruce.
Yeah. I'd be running church on the weekend.
You done, Padre?
Yeah, exactly. That totally. Shelley, someone's listening to the show, and of course we thank them for that. How could they more effectively help us?
I go to recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, and then click on like or permalink. And if you are a member of Podomatic, that's wonderful, because you've just been added to the collective. It helps our numbers, and we really appreciate it. If not, you have the opportunity to become a member. You can, and it's all free and fun. You can add us to playlists. You can like all the old shows. You can leave topics and comments and topic suggestions in the little boxes under the shows. You can go back and listen to old shows. You can get automatic updates of when we post shows, and you should just do it.
Go back to the last show and see if we can set a new record for the number of comments on one show.
Probably could.
Oh, I completely forgot about that one boozy news that you just brought up, the picture.
You have to do it.
Why don't you do it, because you're sitting right there. It's awesome. It's total. Deborah sent this to me. It's hilarious.
Those who clicked off are going to be laughing.
This is a guy's real resume that he sent in.
This guy's got a resume that the top says, so here's the deal. I cannot compete with college degrees and fancy credentials, on paper at least. I've decided to highlight the best of what I have to offer. Intelligent, hardworking, personable, with a great ethic. 2009 to 2012, telecommunications sales and installation. Goes and says a bunch of stuff, goes lower. It says graphic designer, 2004 to 2009. Then down at the bottom, it says 1999 to 2004. Marijuana dealer and nefarious dude. Nashville and Middle Tennessee. Intuitive understanding of supply and demand economics. Good with money. Ran my own delivery service. Had a consistent clientele with high customer satisfaction. Gained intimate access to several very exclusive county jails. Learned a valuable life lesson.
Perfect.
That guy's like hero of the week right there. Mark?
Yeah?
Who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat?
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. And he'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you're interested in a franchise, contact Bruce, and he will give you all the information you need to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
Dude.
Sweet!
We've got videos, or no, we've got email. Well, we have videos,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, sure.
But we've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Okay. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it. And be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.